ಭಜತೆ ಕ್ರಿಂ ಯತ್ ಕೃಪಾ ತಮಹಂ ವಂದೇ ಶ್ರೀ ಗುರು ತಾರಿಣಂ ಶ್ರೀ ರಾಧಾ ಮಾಧವಂ. ಹರೇ ಕೃಷ್ಣ. I would like to extend my sincere thanks to Subhas Das Prabhuji for giving me this opportunity to talk in front of so many elevated devotees. I feel very, very unqualified and not worthy of this opportunity that has been offered to me. So please everyone pray for me that I will do justice to sit on this Vyasasan and talk something today from Srimad Bhagavatam. Continuing from where I was left yesterday to today's verse is 34. This is the Canto 1, Chapter 7, Text 34. So please repeat after me.
Sivhiraya nimista nimisantan Rajva bhadvari pumbalat Paraha arjuna prakupito Bhagwan ambuj ikshana Sivhiraya nimista Satan santam Rajva bhadvari pumbalat Praha arjunam prakrutpito Bhagwan ambuj ikshana Sibhiraya nimi santam Rajva bhadvari pumbalat Praha arjunam prakupto Bhagwan ambuj ikshana Daya nimishantam Rajva bhadvari pumbalat Praja arjunam prakuprito Bhagwan ambuj ikshana Sivhiraya nimishantam Rajva bhadvari pumbalat Bhagwan arjuna prakuprito Bhagwan avavrishanam Sivhiraya nimishantam Vavikumbala Praha arjuna prakupito Bhagavan ambujeshita Sivhiraya nimishantam Bhadvari Pumbalat Siviraya Nimishantam Rajva Bhadvari Pumbalat Pra Arjuna Prakupito Bhagavan ambujekshana Siviraya nimishantam Rajva bhavadi tumbala Ka arjuna prakapito Bhagavan ambujekshana
Matajis
Siviraya nimishantam Rajva bhadvari pumbalad Bhagavan ambuj ekshana Siviraya nimishantam Atva Bhadvari Pumbalat Praja Arjuna Prakupito Bhagavan Ambujeshana Viraya Nimishantam Rajva Balvari Pumbalat Praja Arjuna Prakupito Bhagavan Ambujekshana
Siviraya,
on the way to the military camp.
Nimishantam,
while bringing him
Rajva
by the ropes.
Bhadva,
bound up.
Ripum,
the enemy.
Balat,
by force.
Praha,
said.
Arjunam,
unto Arjuna.
Prakupita,
in an angry mood.
Bhagavan,
the personality of Godhead.
Ambuja Ikshana,
who looks with his lotus eyes.
Translation.
After binding Aswatthama, Arjuna wanted to take him to the military camp. The personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, looking on with his lotus eyes, spoke to Arjuna in an angry mood.
You can repeat after me.
After binding Aswatthama,
Arjuna
wanted to take him to the military camp. The personality of Godhead,
Sri Krishna,
looking on with his lotus eyes, spoke to Arjuna in an angry mood.
Purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Jagatguru Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
Both Arjuna and Lord Krishna are described here in an angry mood. But Arjuna's eyes were like bowls of red copper, whereas the eyes of the Lord were like lotuses. This means that the angry mood of Arjuna and that of the Lord are not on the same level. The Lord is transcendence, and thus He is absolute in any stage. His anger is not like the anger of the conditioned living beings within the modes of qualitative material nature. Because He is absolute, both His anger and pleasure are the same. His anger is not exhibited in the three modes of material nature. It is only a sign of His bent of mind towards the cause of His devotee, because that is His transcendental nature. Therefore, even if He is angry, the object of anger is blessed. He is unchanged in all circumstances.
There is one word, as you have probably already noticed, been repeated several times, and that is anger. And from the reading of Swabhas Prabhu this morning, again we are all talking about, he was talking about anger. So I thought that maybe it is appropriate that we talk about anger today. Anger, as you all know, is just one letter sort of the word danger. I looked into the dictionary to find what is the meaning of danger. And the dictionary says that the possibility of suffering harm or injury, and the synonyms of that is hazard, risky, and jeopardy. The point to note is that it has been emphasized that the anger that was displayed by Lord Krishna and that of Arjuna is not on the same level. So we need to understand why not. If somebody is angry, somebody is angry. But in this case, the anger displayed on the
eyes of Arjuna with the kopa red color is unlike that of Lord Sri Krishna, whose eyes is still lotus-like. So there is something that impacts us human beings, or there is something which is driving us. We hate the word transcendence, which means that he is absolute. And I again looked at the meaning of transcendence as well, and it says that rising above, superior state, or beyond limitations. So means anger or pleasure or anything, they don't affect the Supreme Personality of Godhead, but it does affect you and I as living entities. I did some further research, and this is what Bhagavad Gita 14.5 states. Sattvam rajas tamas tama iti guna prakriti sambhava niv dhantanti mahabhavo dehe dehi nam avyam. Translation of that is, material nature consists of three modes, goodness, passion and ignorance. When the living entities come in contact with nature, O mighty Arjuna, he becomes conditioned by these modes. So it's clearly, Bhagavad Gita clearly states through the words of Lord Krishna that it is the material nature that acts on us as human beings. And it is under the modes of the material nature that we behave in different way. Arjuna obviously was affected by the modes of the material nature. The three modes controls the activities of the pure living entities based on their desires and permitted karma. So how the modes of the nature acts on us pretty much depends on our desires and the type of karma that we are involved in. Someone, for example, someone who is a butcher, he's involved in killing and slaughtering animal on a daily basis. The person becomes ruthless because of the activities he's involved in. And therefore you will find that, well, I hope so, I haven't come across too many, but you will find that most of the butchers would be pretty ruthless people because they won't have that quality of mercy in them. And mainly that is mainly because of the activity or the karma he is involved in. As far as devotees are concerned, therefore, it is very important to understand that these three modes, to understand how these three modes act upon living entities. I won't go into too much detail because in chapter 4, text 11, 12 and 13, Lord Krishna again very, very wonderfully explains the symptoms of the three modes. But in summary, as far as goodness is concerned, the Lord says this, experience when all the gates, goodness is experienced when all the gates of the body is illuminated by knowledge. In simple terms, that means, that is why in the morning one of the prayers that we all do, Om Agyanati Mirandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chakshuralitamena Tasmai Sri Guruve Nama. That's why we pray every morning to our spiritual master. We pray to the spiritual master that with the torchlight of knowledge, he enlightens us. So we can move from the mode of ignorance and passion into the mode of goodness. For passion, the symptoms are great attachments, always involved in fruitive activities, intense endeavor and uncontrolled desires. So a person who is in the mode of passion is usually affected by these sort of things. And then in ignorance, sometimes it's complete darkness, inertia, madness and illusion. Therefore devotees should be in the mood of goodness so that It allows us to see things in the proper perspective, and also it gives us the chance to develop devotional service. That is the real purpose. That is the real purpose of devotees taking this part of Krishna consciousness, because we want to move away from this mode of ignorance and passion and to a mode of goodness. Coming back to anger, how does it develop? Because if we don't know how the anger develops, then it is very difficult to control. Again, in Bhagavad Gita 6:22, Krishna explains, Trividham narakshayadam dwaram nashanam atmana kama krodas tatha lobas tasmat itat trayam tyajat. There are three gates leading to the hell. And what are those three gates? Lust, anger and greed. Therefore, every sane man must give this up in order to lead to a, or else it will lead to a degeneration of the soul. We all know, we have heard many times that the soul by nature is pure. It is part and parcel of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And we also know that qualitatively, we are one and the same. But quantitatively, there is a vast difference. The difference comes because once we have taken this material, when once we come into this material world, we come into contact with the material nature. And because we have come into contact with the material nature, the three modes, it starts acting on us. And that purity over time, obviously, is lost. Another base which I think you all are very familiar with as well, which is the 263, gives us another further lead into this one. And that one again is, I think, very famous base. Dhyayato vinsan punsha sangat tesu upajayate sangat sanjayate kama kamat krodho vijayate krodhad bhauti sammoha sammohat smriti vibhrama smriti brahmasad buddhi naso buddhi nasat pranan shatri. The process starts with attachment, which develops into lust, and when the lust is not fulfilled, anger develops. From anger we have delusion. From delusion we have bewilderment. Intelligence is lost, and when intelligence is lost, obviously we fall down. Okay, a bit more on the anger. So just give me 1 second. In summary, what I have just said earlier on, we need to understand few essential points that human behavior is determined by the modes of material nature. What it means is that many times as devotees we are very judgmental. Very quickly we reach judgment on people. But as devotees we need to understand that many times when people are acting in a different way, in some particular way, in most cases they are helpless. And it is simply because the modes of the material nature is acting on them and makes them helpless to act in certain, in particular way. And it is for that reason, it is very, very important that we don't judge a person on the basis of their behavior. The reason for that is very simple, because we as individuals have got no right to judge any other person. My Guru Maharaj used to, there was a very, very nice analogy that was spoken at the ISKCON Leadership Sangha this year.
on the first day of the lecture, Devki Nandana Prabhu, my god brother from Singapore, was speaking, and he was making this point, which really touched my heart, and I hope that it will also touch your heart as well. And basically what he was saying was that as leaders in ISKCON, or as leaders in any particular field, we start thinking that, well, you know, this particular devotee is acting in a very funny way, or this particular devotee is not there, someone is not there for Mangal Aarti, or we become judgmental in that way. And then we start thinking that we have to tolerate this nonsense all the time. Somebody is not turning up to Mangal Aarti on time, or somebody is not doing the duty as prescribed, and things like that. And so we think that we are tolerating these people all the time. And one time he went to Guru Maharaj and he was talking to Maharaj, and Maharaj said, "Maharaj, you know, as leaders we have to tolerate so much." So Maharaj looked at him and said, "Devki, have you ever thought how much they tolerate you?" And that thing really touched me as well, because many times we think that, you know, we have to tolerate all this nonsense and things like that, but we forget that, you know, the saying goes, when one finger is pointing outside, you know, there are three pointing back at you. So if you can improve anyone in our life, or if you can change somebody again, it's only you. Human nature is such that we can only live by examples. I was really impressed. I mean, I was thinking this morning that if I have an opportunity in future, rather than going to India for pilgrimage, I would come to Los Angeles. The mood here was, it was the mood. The other day, Prabhuji, one of the Prabhujis, I'm sorry, I can't remember it was who, but he was saying that, you know, we don't have the numbers for Mangal Aarti. But the credit goes to Swabhas Prabhuji. Thank you, Prabhuji, for creating this environment. You have got some really wonderful devotees here, the real gems, actually. I was very touched by anyone can lead kirtan here, and there are so many beautiful Matajis are leading so wonderful kirtans. This is all developed over time, and it is only developing through the encouragement and dedication of the temple president, who is, I'm sure, giving opportunities for seva. One of the messages this year, how long am I supposed to be? Are you 15? Okay, so I don't have too much time. One of the messages at ILS this year was very, very strong, that was strongly given out to all the ISKCON leaders, was that a true ISKCON leader is one who sees the best in every devotee, and tries and encourage them and empowers them to grow in that particular field. And not only that, but he also ensures that before his departure, he has got people already lined up to take over the task. And this point was emphasized quite a lot, because a lot of our leaders are now in the, maybe living for another 10, 15, 20 years, something like that, and then after that they will be gone. But have we left behind trained devotees and empowered them and given them the encouragement to grow as devotees, so that when you are not there, they will take over and the things will continue as normal? That only happens when you have a good leadership. And that is something that reflected in the devotees here at Los Angeles, and I was really very, very, very touched by that. So there are a few other points that I would before I finish the class. And that was, I think I've already made one point, which is that never judge a person based on the behavior, simply because we have no right to judge another person. If you want to change, change yourself. And through the change in yourself, if it is reflected in a proper way, then the people surrounded you will change as well. Anger, as I said, is one word less than danger. So try and control that. And the only way to control that is
You have to rise from the mood of ignorance and passion to the mode of goodness. And that will happen only through proper association. We all know the Bhakti Lata Beej. In order to grow, it needs enthusiasm and it needs nourishment. Watering and nourishment. The watering, the example is given, is very simply the chanting of the holy name, and the nourishment is the taking part in the Bhagavad Katha and getting proper association. So those are the things that will help you to grow. The Bhakti Lata bridge will prosper and grow in an enthusiastic way if those two things are always available or you are associated with it. The last way is tolerance. Tolerance comes through maturity. Recently, I was listening to a lecture where a very, very nice example was given about a raw fruit and a ripened fruit. There are three major changes that happens when the raw fruit becomes ripened. I was going to ask the audience to contribute, but I think time is limited, so I will go on. But if anyone can anyone make a quick suggestion? What are those three changes that you can see between a ripe, within a raw and the ripened fruit? Sugar is developed. Thank you. Sorry. The color changes and softens. So these three things happen. When the color changes, what does that indicate? We apply that to yourself. So from a standard ordinary devotee, when you are getting matured as a devotee, the changes in you should be reflected because your outlook, your dealings with people, the whole outlook needs to change. And if it is not happening, then you know that you are not ripened yet. You should develop sweetness, meaning that the way you interact with devotees, with a soft voice, with a soft heart, with a loving approach, and then finally, sweetness. So when these three qualities are developing in you as a person, that should indicate that you are moving away from the mode of ignorance and passion into the mode of goodness. And when that happens, we are able to overcome anger. Ending with the last point, which was the Lord's anger. Lord's anger is actually a blessing. Many times it happens in our life as well. Something will not work the way you wanted it. Something will not just happen in life and we become frustrated. But we all know the saying, whatever happens for good. So always remember that Krishna is in control. As long as you firmly believe that Krishna is in control all the time, no matter what happens, you always remain positive. And when you always remain positive, with the positive attitude, only good things will happen. If that is not the case, then you will find out that we will slide away into the mode of passion and ignorance. So I hope this helps you in any way, particular in any way, and it helps you in your Krishna consciousness and your development as a matured devotee. Hare Krishna. Please pardon me for anything that I may have said that was not appropriate. Thank you very much for giving me this opportunity. Hare Krishna.